This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard on VSiN.
We welcome you back in. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Mike Pritchard. You follow him at MI Pritchard, former NFL wide receiver, national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes, who finally won a game, Pritch.
That's right.
I'd be remiss if I did not mention that.
I'm glad you did.
Buffs are off the schneid.
Yes,
let's
they
go.
Are. Yes, we are. I'm still we.
Still
with
we.
The Buffs.
Long road ahead.
Long road ahead. Yep.
You got yourself a dub. Congrats,
1982,
man.
I think it was, when Coach Mack won one game. So we're talking, what, 40 years here? Yeah. And, you know, you're thinking about the prospects of the Buffs.
And it was 8 years
winning.
Later that they won the Natty.
Well,
so
of course, of course.
2030 is what we're going
to
pencil in.
That's what we're,
that's what we're
okay,
doing. This... Clearly. Something like
okay,
that.
Okay, is there a future out for that?
I'm going to leave it to our producer, Matt Santos, to find that. Matt Santos behind the glass, as is our technical director, Andrew Ingold, the whole crew, Sergio, Mikhail, Liz, Rob, Troy, Ryan. I think I got everybody behind the scenes today. We have a very fun segment that we usually do on this Tuesday show, which is right route, wrong route for the wide receiver himself, Mike Pritchard. Couple of teams who Mike believes are on the wrong route, couple who are certainly on the right route so far. Let's start in Tampa, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers blow a game on Sunday to Pittsburgh, despite coming into that spot as closing double-digit favorites, up to 10 in some books, 9.5 in a number of other spots, and we're, in addition to that, playing against a Pittsburgh team without the entire defensive secondary in that game, three defensive starters out in the defensive backfield, and midway through the game, knocking out the rookie quarterback Kenny Pickett for Pittsburgh. It was the Mitch Trubisky show the second half of that game on Sunday. You think about all the negativity surrounding Tampa, Mike. Right route, wrong route here for the Brady-led Bucs.
Wrong route. And Todd Bowles on the verge of perhaps losing some credibility. I mean, the thing about the National Football League is you're dealing with grown men, right? I mean, yes, you're a coach and you've been a coach, a head coach before. And I think, you know, each situation is different. But you have to understand and always understand and keep in perspective that you're dealing with grown men. And so when you come out and say that Tom Brady is not receiving preferential treatment, you're doing a disservice to yourself. You're losing credibility for yourself in that locker room. Everybody knows he's getting preferential treatment. Now, does he deserve it? I mean, that's debatable. I think the state of affairs right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is, I don't know, as a new head coach for that football team, if you can lose credibility, one, but then also make statements like that publicly. Because now you sound like a hypocrite. I mean, he got that treatment in training camp, and he's getting that treatment during the season too. To put it in context, Ben, you know, you go to a wedding for Robert Kraft, and you're an important game on the road against the Steelers, and you're a huge favorite and all this, and maybe you're not playing great, but where is your passion? Where is your let's go? You know, where is your...
That's how we start every hour. We have
exactly.
That on our show, but not on the sidelines right now.
You know where it was? It was up at Robert Kraft's wedding, though. And so from a context standpoint, as a player, I'm like, look, okay, where's our quarterback? You know, are we going to be right? I mean, but is he distracted? I mean, those are questions I would have already. Like, hey, man, we're out here busting our tails. I mean, the offensive line doesn't feel great right now, but you're going to a wedding. So the context I was referring to, Belichick didn't go to Robert Kraft's wedding. He was on the road with his football team. He goes back farther than Tom Brady does with Robert Kraft, and he didn't even go to his wedding. So, I mean, there are priorities. I mean, we talk about sacrifice, and a lot of times that's to the detriment of any personal relationship you might have. You got to be selfish, and a lot of times your attention is beholden to that team, your other family. But if you don't have that dynamic in place, you can lose games like that to the Steelers on the road. So there's plenty enough time for them to correct it. But I don't think Todd Bowles is handling it the right way by suggesting and putting it out there to everybody that he's not receiving the special treatment when everybody knows that he is.
And keep in mind, head coach Todd Bowles was the handpicked guy by one Tom Brady after Bruce Arians was forced out in the offseason.
Right.
Maybe there's a correlation there. Bucks have failed to cover their last four games. As much as we put some of these athletes on a high pedestal, that's why we like the input from you, Mike, because you're on the same playing field as these guys, and it comes down to being a good teammate, and that Brady was not this past weekend. That our first wrong route from one Mike Pritchard. How about a right route, though? Mm-hmm. How about those Dirty Birds, one of Mike Pritchard's former teams, first-round draft pick, 1991, and the Atlanta Falcons, not a team anybody expected would be very profitable from a betting perspective, and here they are, the final undefeated team against the number this season.
Yeah, and a chance, realistically, to maybe win a division. I mean, we'll get into that discussion at some point. I don't believe the roster is set to do that, but again, they're banged up a little bit with Cordarrelle Patterson. They'll get him back eventually, and then they'll get healthier too. But this is a team that's starting to believe, and Arthur Smith has created a culture that's really been received well with these players out there. And they're young enough, too, to still be impressionable, be coachable that way. But they're running the right route because they're rushing the football. They're averaging over 164 yards per game. And to me, that speaks volumes about the offensive line right now. And it also speaks about who they are as a football team and recognizing that. Like, we're not a prolific passing football team. Okay, how can we still win football games? Okay, let's play defense. Let's be physical in the trenches, and let's run the football. And I speculated on this, Ben, in terms of when the National Football League was going to evolve again back to the running game. And I put out a tweet. It was the Raiders-Chiefs game. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is 1992 football. Because we got offset eye. We got ISO blocking through the A gap and the B gap. And I'm like, man, this is 1992 football. And that's what the NFL does, though. Like, when everybody catches up to what everybody's doing, and that's the read option stuff and throwing a football. And if you're not great at those positions, what are you going to do? You're going to get back to the basics. And that's putting your hand in the dirt and running the football. And we're seeing a lot of teams do that this year. And Atlanta's one of them, and it's working for them. I think it can continue to work too. And so absolutely, they're running the right routes right now.
And you think about Atlanta this week at Cincinnati, catching six. Will it be another run of a dog covering for the Falcons? They've rewarded bettors handsomely so far this year, 6-0 against the number. We go back to wrong routes. You're not looking at a team necessarily as a whole, Mike, but a coach that you're not happy with. It goes in Miami, where the Dolphins have now fallen on hard times, three straight losses there. What's the issue right now with Mike McDaniel?
Well, a lot of people will say that it's the quarterback situation, but Mike McDaniel said it's not the quarterback situation. That's the path of least resistance to for his quote right there. But no, it's Mike McDaniel as a first-year head coach. And now, circumstances have certainly disrupted, I think, anybody. And if you're not ready to handle the Tua fallout, if you're not ready to handle, okay, your backup quarterback goes down, if you're not ready to handle all the scrutiny that franchise is under right now, it's not his fault. You know, I think Ross, the owner, brought a lot of it on that franchise. And then certainly you got some doctors on their own page out there too. So he's got to handle so much off the field, let alone what's happening on the field. On the field, they can't run the football. And there's zero excuse for that because he's a run game coordinator that got elevated to head coach because of his acumen as a run game coordinator out there with San Francisco. And now he's trying to be too cute calling plays. It was so irresponsible to give Skylar Thompson that type of game plan as a backup to the backup quarterback and to not really rely on other aspects of your offense or certainly things that you can do, like run the football. When your defense is playing well, keeping you in the game against a tough opponent and the Vikings. So he's got to look in the mirror and suggest to himself as a head coach, do I want to be this cute, know-it-all play caller, or do I want to start doing what's best for this football team? So, yeah, I think they're running the wrong routes right now. They overachieved early on, and they were more fortunate than good early on when they got to the hot start. But now everybody's found out about you, and can you be different? Can you be better?
A team that is now bottom half of the league on a rush EPA per play basis, right, on that side of the ball when you think about the acumen coming in, mm-hmm, for one Mike McDaniel. And in a game on Sunday in which was his defense's best performance by a long margin this season, a defense that had been bottom five in a lot of metrics through the first 5 weeks of the year.
Right.
Played really well against Minnesota. Mentioned it earlier, 498 to 234 was the yard edge. And when you turn the ball over with play calling that is not optimal to the personnel you have,
right,
you're asking for trouble. That's what happened in Miami. Three straight losses, not only losses outright, but three straight games where the Dolphins have failed to cover after the hot 3-0 start. But there is a rookie head coach that Mike is very impressed with. How about Brian Daboll and the Giants and what he is doing Is there something specific you've been able to hone in on there with the G-men that don't look incredibly impressive on paper, yet they keep finding ways to win each week?
Yeah, you know, there's two things happening. They're playing complementary football, one, which for Coach Daboll, I mean, that's the structure you're looking for. And you think about his past, his history, where is he going to learn that from? Bill Belichick, for one, certainly his travels, but the complementary football aspect of it is allowing the Giants to have the record that they have right now. When you can get into the fourth quarter and make other teams panic, because we know this as bettors even, and as a player, we know this, more teams lose games because they panic or they don't make plays than go out there and win them, right? I mean, we can identify the teams that can go out and win a game in the fourth quarter. Okay, Buffalo, maybe Kansas City, maybe Tom Brady at some point, but typically that doesn't happen. A lot of times teams and quarterbacks panic, right? And they turn the ball over or make mistakes, or receivers will run into each other. But Daboll, on both sides of the ball, has these guys overachieving. He's gotten rid of bad apples. So, okay, you go out in timeout. You go pout away from my football team. And his intensity, too, these players are feeding off of it. His coaches are feeding off of it. So it's just a whole culture shock and change that has been a refreshing part for the Giants so far. Same thing with the Jets. By the way, too. So out there in New York.
Honorable mention, Robert Saleh, what we're going with here. But
absolutely.
Daboll gets the real right route for you, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you consider that personnel, Daniel Jones is a quarterback who's bottom quarter of the league and amidst every stat you can quantify. And yet the Giants as an offense are eighth APA per play. Overall, we had the stat up on the screen earlier, fourth in rushing. That's something you put on the head coach, and you say, props to you, sir, with Daniel Jones getting so much production out of that position. Right routes, wrong routes in the book. We'll look at some futures when we come back.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
VSiN Pro subscribers get access to the best betting talent in the game. If you have not subscribed yet, VSiN has a mid-season offer to make you a smarter bettor. Sign up now for just $99 and get VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl. You'll get everything VSiN has to offer, including our 24/7 live shows and subscriber-only betting guides to college bowl season and the Super Bowl, all for less than the normal monthly rate. You'll also get VSiN subscriber-only season prep guides to the NHL, NBA, and World Cup. It's the best bet in the game. $99 VSiN Pro. Now through the Super Bowl. Sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. NBA opening night tonight. How about that?
Are you an NBA better in October?
Not in October.
Not October?
NFL better.
Okay.
NFL, even though we do have the Sports Equinox on Thursday.
Yeah.
MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, all going on this Thursday. And we are now 6 weeks in the NFL season where this is the point where we start to formulate our long-term thoughts on the futures market. Mm-hmm. Now that we have a good amount of data on all these teams and a really good sample size, Buffalo and Philadelphia, your two far and away favorites to win their respective conferences. Buffalo at the +130 range right now at BetMGM to win the AFC. Eagles just north of 2-1, +210 at MGM to win the NFC. If we start there with those two teams, thinking about Philadelphia and Buffalo, everybody seems to be assigning that this is going to be our Super Bowl matchup come February. You in agreement with that right now?
No, not yet, because the league is different. I don't know if it's a combination of bad football and parity. That's what's happening. And the last 2 years, we saw a couple teams get hot along the way too. So from a future standpoint, I mean, Buffalo looks apart. They were my favorite, a lot of people's favorite coming into the year. The Eagles, I think people speculated on them being this good, and okay, those people are right, because the Eagles are this good, right? But our team's going to get better though. Which teams are going to get hot? Which teams can add significantly along the way too? Because I think that can happen. But you and I were talking about something off air that we should talk to the audience about right now. And that's, who do you eliminate from the equation? Like, who's completely done already into the year?
The so-called cross-off teams,
sure,
6 weeks in.
Sure, yeah. Looking forward to tanking, rebuilding, however you want to phrase it, right? There's about five teams that we've identified. Everybody else, and this is to be true, everybody else in the National Football League outside of the Bears, the Washington football team, Carolina, Detroit, Houston, their coaches are telling those players that we can get in it. We're a part of this playoff picture. Even the Raiders at 1-4 feel like they can go on a run and get into the playoff picture. So I think that could present itself this year along the way. If you want to go Eagles, Bills, there's nothing wrong with it. But I believe there's going to be some surprises coming up in store in the National Football League.
And we easily, as bettors, tend to have short memories. Let's not forget last year through 6 weeks, the two favorites to win the Super Bowl, it was Buffalo, it was Arizona. Mm. Neither of those teams even made it out of their own conferences, let alone won the big game. It's a good reminder to point out that for these small sample sizes, even though, again, the data tends to show us, all right, we can start to believe in some of these teams, there is such a long way to go in the market. And when you look at the NFC specifically, we just talked right route, wrong route. Mm-hmm. You are not at all liking what you're seeing in Tampa, who are the second choice to come out of the NFC behind Philadelphia right now as we pull up the NFC odds. Third after Tampa is Minnesota. 5-1 team, 7-1 on the odds board, who has played one game against a team with an above 500 record. That was on Monday night in Philadelphia when the Vikings had the doors blown off in a 24-7 loss. With Minnesota, even though the numbers don't look terrible on them, 13th EPA per play offensively, 14th on the defensive side of the ball, how much stock are you putting into this 5-1 start for the Vikings?
I mean, they're plus 21 point differential too. So, I mean, everybody else is negative, right? I think Kirk Cousins doesn't really flourish with the nuances of this offense. And you're going to have to do that as we get into a phase of the league in which it goes away from scheme and gets into matchups. And certainly tendencies are all over the place. And then defensively, they're not great and stout against the run. So I think they're vulnerable, even though they're 5-1, right? I think they're one of those teams that could be vulnerable until you start to see them become different. But at plus 7 right there, plus 700, I mean, I'm not biting there. You know, there's some teams below them with some longer odds that I think are a decent bet, though.
And the biggest issue, when I look at this Minnesota team, what we're seeing so far, it's not necessarily the lack of cohesion for Cousins in an offense with a first-year head coach and a traditional offensive play caller in Kevin O'Connell. It is more the defense, which, even though on an EPA per play basis is fine, 13th overall, there's still a lot to be desired on that defensive end where they have been very turnover dependent so far. We talked about the three turnovers forced against the Miami Dolphins last week, but Minnesota tied for 28th on a yards per play basis allowed so far this season, tied with Cleveland into that bottom five of teams in the NFL. You compare that to two teams right below Minnesota on the odds board. San Francisco has the best defense in the game on an EPA per play basis by a pretty wide margin. Mm-hmm. Dallas is fifth. And right. We saw Dallas with getting nothing at the quarterback position. Cooper Rush had a 1.0 quarterback rating Sunday night. And we saw Dallas nearly erase a 20-point deficit on the road against Philadelphia. How could you possibly make Dallas and San Francisco longer odds than Minnesota, considering how we know defense is the more crucial concept to winning games long-term than the quarterback play?
Yeah, say Dak comes back and Dak picks up and he's playing decent football. Maybe it takes him a couple of weeks or not. Who knows? But the schedule is conducive for him to kind of play catch-up. And the Cowboys and how they have played, they don't have to rely on Dak to be the old Dak Prescott. Immediately, right? But on a neutral field, who would you pick? I mean, the Vikings and the Cowboys right now.
Dallas.
Right? 100%. With Dak, right? I mean, So plus 900 right there from a conference standpoint. But the front runners and the NFC, I mean, San Francisco has to get healthy. I think Tampa Bay, who knows what happens? Like we were just talking about the dynamic in the locker room, perhaps. And then Minnesota, when does Kirk Cousins start to elevate the offense? If he starts to elevate the offense, now it's a different story. So if you like the plus 700, you're betting on the fact that Kirk Cousins can do that, and then also that defense can round out in shape. But the Eagles, solid front runner. I think the Giants, you got to keep an eye on, too, as they start to believe more and more that they belong.
So you're buying this with the Giants to a degree.
Well, to a degree. I mean, to a degree, because right now football is different, and like we talk about tendencies and all that. I mean, the Giants are limited, even with Daniel Jones, and they are limited, and they are overachieving. But if I start seeing evidence that, okay, they're evolving as well as overachieving, okay, that's different. But right now, they're purely overachieving with the limited ability that they have.
Like we said earlier.
All right.
When you're eighth EPA per play on offense and you have a bottom five quarterback in Daniel Jones, that doesn't really jive with where the numbers ought to be long term.
Right.
I also look at the other teams here in this, and at least in the NFC odds board, if we stick there, there's so much of that baked in respect for teams like Green Bay, who are still 9-1 on the odds board. Like the Rams, your defending Super Bowl champions at 9-1. Teams that we know are deeply flawed at this point in the season, but yet they're in that same category as San Francisco and Dallas. To me, teams that are clearly, from an overall 52-man roster standpoint, a big notch above both the Rams and where the Packers are at right now. You believe the same thing?
Well, yeah, I totally believe it. I mean, we still have some blockbuster trades, perhaps. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's name's out there, and there's other teams and other players that their names are floating around, rumors. And then, you know, depending on the health of Odell Beckham Jr., say the Packers added Odell Beckham Jr., right? I mean, say, I don't know, the Cowboys and Jera adds Odell Beckham Jr. You know, who knows about those situations? But that's what's happened the last 2 years, and I don't want to think differently because we know the league to be a copycat league.
And if you're Green Bay, Randall Cobb goes down this past week with injury as well. Right. Maybe concerning that the Packers were, to begin with, relying on a guy in probably his last year or two in the NFL, guy into his well into his 30s in Randall Cobb. That fix, to me, is the toughest of any of these teams that where we're talking about flaws, because the personnel on the wide receiver front just isn't there. You have an offensive line that has clearly taken a huge step back. And if you aren't getting the baked-in running game yards that you expected you would get out of Green Bay, we saw at one point Aaron Jones had 4 carries for 0 yards last week against the Jets. If you can't rely on that, and you knew going in that the wide receiver personnel would be the big issue for Green Bay, and you add in that Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback is dealing with a thumb injury and was clearly not his normal self on Sunday, where do you go when there's so many different issues at play all on one side of the ball?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know where you turn to, because how do you upgrade it? How do you, well, first of all, how do you fix it? And then how do you upgrade it? I mean, you're counting on players getting better. And I think that was the philosophy for Green Bay, that you got all these younger players. But yeah, you know what? Aaron Rodgers will help those guys and they'll get better. We're not seeing that.
And that's not even to mention Joe Barry's defense, which we perceived personnel-wise to be a top five group coming in, bottom five against the run this season. That game against the Jets, to see them get out-physicaled on both sides of the ball the way they did.
At home.
Lambeau, but not yet frozen tundra, absolutely jarring. The whole point of this exercise being not any value on these teams still being propped up like the Rams and the Packers, and teams like the Vikings, maybe a little too overzealous in the market. If there was a bet I'd look at, San Francisco or Dallas, those are the plays right now. When we return, we have Josh Applebaum stopping by here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
We welcome you back in. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Looking at my odds screen, Mike, the numbers are moving, as it usually does, early afternoon on Tuesdays for Week 7 in the NFL. Bunch of numbers moving all over the place, and that's why we bring in every single Tuesday, at this time, host of VSiN Daily Morning Bets and the Market Insights podcast, it's Josh Applebaum. Josh, we welcome him in from Boston. How you doing, Josh? Great to see you here for Week 7.
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. Ben, Pritch, great to be with you. And hey, if you're Denver Broncos better, you're feeling pretty good about last night. That was an epic play for kind of a really good system match here. Looking at these dogs, primetime dogs, dogs with reverse line movement, good teachable moment using these VSiN.com bet splits, looking at only 26% of bets on the Broncos last night, but epic movement in their favor, starting getting +6 all the way down to 4.5, 4, late movement even down to 3.5. That's a blueprint play. So if you kind of went with that sharp move against the public, you're feeling pretty good. Even though the Broncos didn't win, they covered the number. That's all you care about.
That's all that matters at the end of the day. And I mentioned all those numbers lighting up on our odds screen here, Josh. That game, Jets going 2 Mile High to take on the Broncos, that's a big one. Your look ahead was Broncos -3.5, reposted around Broncos minus a field goal. And we've seen in the last 15 to 30 minutes, this number come down inside that key number of 3 here, down to Jets catching only the 2.5 on the road. What do you make of that line move?
Yeah, I'd be looking to the Jets right now, guys. And I think it's a great point by you, Ben. You know, when you're an NFL bettor, I think you're really deciding, okay, whatever my model, my blueprint is, I'm looking for system matches. But when do I bet the game? Do I bet it early in the week thinking that, hey, the line's going to only get worse? Or do I bet it later in the week, which also has its benefits? You can get the injury reports. You can let the public continue to bet these games, figure out really where the contrarian opportunities lie. To me, I bet games early in the week in the NFL only if we're on a key number and I have system matches and I think the line's about to drop and get worse. So this would be a perfect example, Ben. I'm glad you brought this up. You know, as we're doing the show right now, a lot of money is coming in here on the New York Jets. This open Denver Broncos, you mentioned it, Ben, laying 3.5, immediately got down to 3. It's that initial line move. Once the line gets released, that told me, hey, there's some value with the hook on the Jets, who've been a really good surprising team this year. But here's the other thing. We're at 3, but as you mentioned, Ben, we're getting down to 2.5 right now. So pay attention to the juice. The juice isn't just, you know, the price we have to pay on these bets. It's also going to let us know where the juiced upside is, where the next move is going to be. So the fact that you're seeing a lot of these Jets at +3, -115, that's telling us, hey, we're probably getting down to 2.5 here. So I'd be looking at the Jets, grabbing the 3 right now before it falls. That way the Jets lose by 3. You push this game instead of lose. Russell Wilson has a bunch of injuries. He's dealing with a hamstring injury now, as well as some other injuries. The Jets have a much better offense, averaging 24 points a game, only 15 for Denver. Also, road dogs this year, guys, have been really good. 31-20 against the spread, 60%. Dogs who missed the postseason last year, they're cashing 64% ATS. So lines moving to the Jets. If you wait too late, you're going to miss the key number. I'm thinking about grabbing the Jets right now at +3.
Yeah, you know what, Josh? Your key numbers and your market insights are always helpful. You put out a tweet too, and you mentioned it here already a little bit, but I relayed this to the syndicate, the teaser syndicate, because it's key.
Oh, boy.
It's key.
Uh-oh.
I know, right? Dogs, 3.5, +3.5 or more, are now 38-19 ATS. That's 67%, right, this season so far. And so, you know, we know about the Wong teasers and all that, but it's like the syndicate is like extrapolating, Josh, here. Okay, taking that +3.5 situation and teasing that number, that key number up.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Pritch. And, you know, I think number one, I'm looking at, when I look at dogs doing well, what I like to do is dig into the database and like try to refine that even more. Like, is there a spot where, you know, dogs are much better getting 3? Like, that's a perfect example. Getting 3.5 or more, you're cashing 2/3 of the time. If you're getting 3 or less, you're much less than that. So these are the little things. It doesn't tell me that every dog 3.5 or more I'm going to bet, but it's something in my back pocket that if I like the game and the line's moving in my favor, like, here's a great one. Pritch, your Atlanta Falcons yesterday, you know, we saw that line fall in their favor against the 49ers. At one point they were getting, you know, as high as I think like 6, they got down to 4.5 or 4. That would be that match 3.5 or more, but also it's kind of jiving with the way the market is moving. So Pritch, I don't know if the teaser syndicate was looking at this one here, New Orleans, Arizona tomorrow. This is one that you don't have the 3.5. Mm-hmm. It's a much shorter spread here, but the line's going to New Orleans. Arizona opened Thursday night football laying around 2, 2.5. Now you're down to 1.5. So a lot of these dog line move matches are on New Orleans. But again, if you're worried about only getting a 1.5 right now, maybe the teaser syndicate's going to take that up to 7.5 there, Pritch. It'll be worth a look there on Thursday night.
Absolutely. The Ben Wilson personal teaser syndicate is looking at that game for Thursday, Josh. Okay. Yes, the party of one there, Josh, on the game Thursday night, Saints at Saints in Arizona. Another game that could also fall in that range, it's a divisional matchup with a low total. We're seeing money come to Tennessee. Titans open against the Colts at home, about -1.5. We're toggling back and forth in that 2.5 to 3 range right now. Josh, how do you assess the way the market has reacted to this opener here on the Colts and Titans game?
Yeah, I think the big one here, Ben, is just the fact that we're starting to get these teams coming off a bye. So I think it's important here. This is going to change the way that you cap a lot of these games. The bye week is really, really important, especially disproportionately favors favorites. You know, if you look at dogs off a bye, they're only like 50%. If you look at favorites off a bye, they're 57% against the spread over the last decade here. So this kind of goes with this line move toward Tennessee. The Titans opened as low as like -1.5, got all the way up to -3. Now you did see some buyback on the Colts +3. Then you get the key number. It is a divisional matchup there. But my angle with this one, if you're still around a 2.5, it's a money line play on Tennessee because of that that rest versus tired matchup coming off a bye here. Also, if you look at the Colts in this spot on the money line, they're around -150. So you don't have to worry about, you know, covering the 3 or winning by 1 or 2, laying the 2.5. But if I have a system match on favorites off a bye that does very well, the line's moving toward this favorite, I'm not going to mess around with the spread. I'll go money line here. And Pritch, let me ask you, when you were playing in the NFL, how critical was that bye week? I'm sure you felt fresh as lettuce after coming off that bye week.
Yeah, I mean, some lettuce can be brown, though. But the bye week, depending on when it is. I mean, I think teams that are struggling, you want to get to the bye week as soon as possible. Other teams, okay, maybe the bye week in the middle of the year is more beneficial too. Josh, we were talking about this earlier too. I think today's NFL, today's athlete, they look forward to some time off. if you know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, we'll see what these teams do after their bye week. We had some teams up against it, though, like the Raiders in particular, up against it going into their bye week. But yet, you know, the opponent that they have, looking at that situation too. But, you know, I think the bye week, depending on where it falls, really helps the cause for each and every circumstance out there, Josh.
I'm with you, Pritch. And again, it doesn't mean like when we talk these systems that I'm blindly going to follow every right. system I have. For me, I'm trying to build a case. I'm like thinking of myself as like a lawyer going into a courtroom. Can I make a case that's strong enough to convince the jury, which is you as the better, whether to fire or not? So if you have a line move, you know, maybe the one thing I like about this one, Tennessee isn't that lopsided. They're just like a little more than 50% tickets. Plus you throw in the bye week angle. Boom. That feels like to me, I'm making a case worthwhile to go money line here with the Titans.
The Applebaum Pritchard Wilson Law Firm coming to a jurisdiction near you early 2023. You talked too about teams that are injured and potentially limping into particular spots, Josh. We're seeing that happen with San Francisco. Niners coming back home after 2 weeks spent on the East Coast. Potential for 7 defensive starters out in this game against Kansas City. Chiefs seeing some love in the market from 1 up to -3 here. What do you look at for Kansas City in this particular spot after the disappointing home loss to Buffalo last week?
So it seems, Ben, like this is a layup for Kansas City, right? San Francisco's really injured. You know, obviously Kansas City coming off a tough loss to Buffalo there. I was on Kansas City +3, so really hated to see that late interception by Mahomes there in the fourth quarter. But public is saying this is the easiest game of the week. Lay the points with KC, a great team who's going to be, you know, trying to get back into the win column after a tough loss to Buffalo. You're right, Ben. It did open as low as like Kansas City laying 1.5 or 2, but now we're up to the key number of 3. So a lot of movement. Basically, think of it this way. If you wanted to bet KC, a lot of that value is gone. It was always Kansas City getting less than the 3 there, the 2.5 or less, which you could make a case a lot of value on Kansas City. But now we're at 3. And what I think is notable here is you're really not juiced up like -3, -115, like it's going to 3.5. It looks to me like the odds makers are taking a position on the San Francisco 49ers here. They're saying, hey, you know, the public wants nothing to do with them. But now that you're up to 3, we're not just going to go to 3.5, give out the hook, do some kind of ultimate hazmat wears here on the San Francisco 49ers. But really the big one for me, guys, this is the most lopsided game of the week. You know, if you're a contrarian better like me, there's some games where, you know, I get excited if it's like 65-35. I want to be on the 35 side. 70-30, 80-20. When you get to a 90-10, that is a huge lopsided discrepancy. Right now at our VSiN.com bet splits at DraftKings, 91% of bets are taking Kansas City here and laying the point. So, again, early move was toward Kansas City, but I'd be looking at, you know, putting on the hazmat suit, looking at San Fran +3 here. It's kind of an inflated line off the opener. It's your number one contrarian play of the week. Ask yourself this, who are the books rooting for? If Kansas City rolls and wins by 10, they're going to take a bath on this one. They've taken a position on the 3. Jimmy G, 16-4 against the spread as a dog, 80% in his career. Also, dogs who didn't cover the previous week, your dog this week, you didn't cover last week against Pritch's Falcons. 49ers and teams in this spot, 20-13 against the spread, 61%. So as long as we don't go to 3.5, that would scare me off. If you stay 3, or if you see it juiced up like it's getting back down to 2.5, I'd be looking at the ultimate contrarian play, only 9%. On San Francisco, I'll take the +3 with Jimmy G.
And Josh, Mike, and I were just talking about that value to be had. This could be that buy low spot for San Francisco, especially in the futures market. You're certainly applying that to this week, catching 3 against Kansas City. Give him a follow at Josh_Insights, host of VSiN Morning Daily Bets and the Market Insights podcast. Josh, always great to see you here on these Tuesdays, my friend. We'll catch you next week.
It's always a great spot, guys. Have a great day. Ben and Pritch, you guys are the best.
We got it. Right. We got you, Josh. That's right. As we get ready to wrap up our show on the other side, we have some injury news with quarterbacks coming out of the NFC East specifically. Dak Prescott in Dallas. Sounds like this is the week he's coming back. What's that doing to the line in Detroit? And what to make of the new quarterback in Washington? Carson Wentz out. Heinicke time against Green Bay. We'll discuss those two matchups next on the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN
with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip. and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're back for the final time on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Two big games involving NFC East teams who have changes at quarterback this week, Mike. First for Dallas, it is finally the return of Dak Prescott after his thumb injury week one and a loss to Tampa. Comes back this week in a spot where Dallas is laying 7, the full touchdown against a Detroit Lions team coming off a bye. We saw the experiment for Cooper Rush, the great start. 4-0 in his first 4 starts this season after winning one as a spot starter last year. But against an elite defense in Philadelphia, it all fell apart last week. The 1.0 QB rating, rushed 27th among the 32 qualified starters at this point with a rating right around 80. How much do you upgrade Dallas's offense, even if it's, say, a slightly less than 100% Prescott coming back this week?
A lot, because you downgraded the offense depending on Cooper Rush and the time of year. So in other words, Cooper Rush in the beginning of September, or, you know, through the month of September, early October, I don't know if you downgraded that much, but as you get into late October into November football, I mean, your quarterback's got to be different, period, right? And Cooper Rush is not there. Dak Prescott has been there. He's got a ton of experience in those situations too, and he's going to shoulder the load here. I mean, Dak Prescott understood that coming into the year. He's going to have to be special, going to have to be different. It's unfortunate about the injury. But now that you're getting into the thick of things and when games are going to be that much more important, you want to go with this experience and certainly the playmaking ability from this type of quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I would upgrade it mightily here for the Cowboys, depending on, of course, once Dak gets some reps and gets back to action, though.
I would think the big hesitation for bettors this week would be, right, the rust factor, mm-hmm. Dallas coming off an emotional divisional battle on Sunday night against Philadelphia. Now you welcome a team in who's off a bye in Detroit. Do you think Detroit has figured out the issues, though, especially defensively?
No.
Last in the league defensively, uh-huh. Last against the pass, 31st against the run. You would think if you're combining that, even with a bye week and time for Dan Campbell to try to figure some things out, isn't the basis of the issues, though, for Detroit more in personnel? It's not as, and it's also a combination of scheme, too. But
yeah.
You talk about this with Green Bay earlier, right, and the offense. How much can you really fix something if the personnel just isn't there to begin with?
Well, you can try to seek a trade, and there's some rumors about Detroit trying to get some help up front on their D-line. But I think what Aaron Glenn's trying to do with this defense is trying to make too much of an impact. If they dial it down and they play more honest, make Dallas execute those kinds of things, then maybe they can stay in games. Maybe they can get back to that complementary nature of football. But you have Aaron Glenn on one side doing his thing, and then offensively, we know the Lions to be explosive. So as the Lions get healthier, I mean, I think they're going to feel like they can score. But defensively, no, they're not going to solve that unless they upgrade personnel or change their defensive coordinator.
And think about that matchup this week. The Lions with a banged up offensive line have mm-hmm. been without multiple starters for past weeks. We're waiting to see and get more clarity on the health there.
Right.
Did get top wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown back before the bye against New England, so that's at least positive. Mm-hmm. But Micah Parsons and this Dallas defense have been just a fiend coming at these opposing offenses, and we've seen Jared Goff look really, really shaky against pressure. That, to me, is almost the bigger matchup than how does Prescott and the Cowboy offense look against a bad Detroit defense, is it not?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, too. And even though the Eagles had a better offensive line, we still saw that Dallas Cowboys defense get to Hurts and move them around. They got some critical stops. You give credit to the Eagles getting that one drive in the second half that won them the football game. But if you're asking the Lions to be able to do that, I think that's tall order right there.
Tall, tall task. Right. And that line pretty much market-wide is settled in. Cowboys from 6.5 on the opener up to 7. Have to think that is a very popular teaser candidate this week in Big D. How about the other NFC East team with a new quarterback this week? We're back to Taylor Heinicke. Crack open your Heinekens, everybody, because Carson Wentz is out, injured in the loss last week. The win last week. It was a loss for the Chicago Bears at home against Washington in a game where it felt like nobody won, viewers included, in a 12-cent win for Washington. So After that 12-7 victory, you have Wentz injured, has surgery earlier in the week. Now it's Heinicke. And if you compare these two quarterbacks, Heinicke was the starter season ago for Washington. 20 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. Completion percentage at 65. Quarterback rating at 84. You compare that to what we're seeing out of Carson Wentz this season. 10 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. 62% completion percentage. 84 on the rating. Heinicke, I misspoke, was 86. So Heinicke's numbers, slightly better than Wentz. And that's where we ask ourselves, is this actually a downgrade, or is Washington better with the backup quarterback, as weird as that is to say?
Yeah, are they different? Like, we get distracted by a lot of things that happens with a franchise and offseason, and I think franchises get distracted with themselves. Like, think about the Commanders right now. They're 2-4 with Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz has played well at times, but he's also played not so well at times. And but those are the changes, right? The constant is that the defense still stinks. I mean, Del Rio is still the D coordinator, and they're still giving up a lot of points like they did last year. So that's the constant. The changes, the variables, have been the quarterback. But, okay, let's go back to Heinicke. Heinicke was 2-4 at this same exact time. Now, he didn't start the first game. Fitzpatrick got hurt, but Heinicke came in, and he's 2-4, just like the Commanders are right now. And if you extrapolate even more, Carson Wentz in his up and down nature has thrown for 1,500 yards. To date, last year, Heinicke was at 1,340. 10 touchdowns for Carson Wentz last year, 9 for Heinicke. 6 interceptions for Carson Wentz so far, 6 for Heinicke. It's like, this is why organizations fail. Because, okay, we got to change quarterback. We got to do this. But yet, why don't you just improve the situation that you already have? I mean, I think Heinicke is more of a gunslinger, and that gets him in trouble at times. But that might be what the Commanders need here, you know, with this offense and what they want to do, and the youthful nature of this offense too. Now you bring in a foreign body, and he has to get involved and try to become that leader. I think it's just been some friction there.
Right.
But then we all know in that locker room that the amount of lack of credibility or lack of accountability, if you will, for Del Rio, it speaks volumes more so than anything else right now with that football team.
And when you think about all those issues behind the scenes, in a sense, looking ahead, and this is, we always talk about buying low, selling high on teams. This would have represented the spot to buy low on Green Bay, coming off of 3 straight weeks of unimpressive football,
right?
Back-to-back losses to the New York teams as large favorites. The last game being at home at Lambeau, losing outright as a 7.5-point favorite to the Jets. Green Bay only laying 5 or 5.5 at open in this game. Market hasn't really decided what to do yet. And you would say normally, let's say if Washington was on normal rest and if it was another start for Carson Wentz, this was the perfect spot to back Green Bay.
Right.
The perfect get-right spot against an organization with all sorts of issues both on and off the field. But with Heinicke, while we're laying out statistically, profile's the same guy essentially as Carson Wentz, but from the human element, it is a new face. It's potentially a guy who has led Washington to sparks and wins in the past. I would think if you're Green Bay, you're looking at this and saying, I really wish we had one more start of Carson Wentz. I mean, come on.
So.
It's just our luck with the way this season is going. And maybe this is just speaks to the psyche of us as bettors, but I sit here and say, I would have loved jumping in, taking Green Bay, putting him in a money line parlay on the road. If it was Wentz, Heinicke, I don't know. There's something that worries me. There's something that would worry me about that from Green Bay. I don't know that I'd take it.
Right.
Definitely not looking to lay Green Bay with all the issues we're seeing there.
No, not going to lay, but looking at taking the points, though, absolutely. So far this week, I mean, Robinson coming in, you know, that's energy. I think the receiving core, they're going to be energized by somebody more familiar at quarterback than the new guy. So if they can put it together, and then again, it's all about Del Rio though, but we know about Green Bay struggling on offense, struggling on both sides of the ball. So right now, this week so far, I'm looking at the points. You got a 5.5 and a 5 out there catching it with Washington.
And we know Taylor Heinicke too. Where's number 4? Because of Brett Favre, was a huge Packer fan growing up. A lot of emotion when it comes to that specific game today. I know you've talked in the past. Sometimes for these struggling teams, though, getting away from home is the best thing to happen to them.
That's
true.
Think
the same thing applies to Green Bay this week?
That's speaking as a fan, I think.
I'm searching for something,
they
all right?
Issues.
As a Wisconsinite, I'm just like,
they
give
got
me
issues.
Something.
They got issues.
There's a lot of issues going on in Green Bay right now. A lot of fun with you as always, you Mike, too, on the show. This has been a great edition of the Lombardi Line. When we return on VSiN, it is VSiN Big Bets. Dave Ross and Amal Shaw coming your way next.